mentioned this morning that we would follow up with our lesson in regard to the teaching of the grace of God tonight, and I'm glad that you're here with us very much, and apply it to the relationship that we have within our home and family. You know, the teachings of the tenets of Jesus about life and how to live from day to day, as well as teachings from Solomon, the wise one of the Old Testament of the Bible, that God invested a great deal of effort with through his life. The teaching that we have from an apostle like Simon Peter would be good teaching that we should practice in our lives, even if we were not religiously inclined toward it. It would be better for our lives if we followed the teaching that's given. Now, of course, we know that in that process of following that teaching of the Lord for a better way of life, we would know that within ourselves, we didn't get here just by ourselves. That we arrived here, that there's something more to us than just physical beings and just physical ways. In the Nuremberg trials of aftermath of World War II in Germany, the effort was made by those of the Nazi movement to petition the court that they were not guilty on the basis that they were simply following orders. They were given those orders by those who were prejudiced against the Jews. Some say estimate 4 to 6 million people were actually exterminated during that time. However, the idea was that they were defending themselves on the basis that they were simply following instructions. And to not do that following of instruction would be sure death for them. And as a result, they followed that kind of guidance. The court tribunal, as it studied and as it considered that in their final opinions of that matter, set forth some certain words. They said, there is a law higher than the law of Germany. There's a law higher than any regime that comes to power on earth, including in Germany. That is the law of the divine. The idea of taking innocent people's lives simply because they are whom they are racially or ethnically is just not according to overall the highest law there is. As a result of that, they were convicted. One by one by one, their appeals that were made were not fulfilled. And along with those who held out the longest for those to be imprisoned were Stalin's people of Russia. They held out the longest to not forgive and let them be free in years and years and scores of years to come. What do we find about a better way of life and a better way to teach our children? Well, let's go first off to Jesus himself. I know Jesus said in regard to our lives in Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It'd be good to test the Lord out in our lives, if nothing else. We'll find back in the book of Malachi where the Lord said, test me, try me, prove me. And we find here a statement made, would it be in order for us to test the Lord out if we seek first the kingdom? See how things turn out for us. See how things work in our behalf. See how things come out. The things that we really need, the things that we really think are beneficial to us, see if it doesn't happen that way if we seek first the kingdom of God. Now, if we seek first the kingdom of God, that means that before I do other things on the Lord's day, I seek to worship the Lord. Before I do other things in my daily walk, I seek to be the person of God. When I get up in the morning, first thing I do, I seek to pray to Him. The last thing I do at night, I seek to pray to Him. I seek to be the kind of individual that will show that the kingdom of God is very, very important in my life. And He promised these things, these earthly things that are noted here in Matthew 6, of food, clothes, and shelter, will be added unto you. There will be a blessing to come in your life. We can help that blessing along that comes in our lives. I'm sure it's going to come. But we'll help that blessing along if we follow what Jesus said in Luke 14, beginning verse 28. In Luke 14, beginning of 28, our Lord had just said, you cannot be my disciple if you do not forsake all that you have and take up your cross. You cannot be my disciple. And then he said, for what man among you, and he uses two great illustrations, desiring to build a tower, he says, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish that tower, else after he has laid the foundation, he's got enough to lay the foundation, he is not able to finish. Since he's not able to finish, others will come by and mock him, saying, this man began to build but could not finish. Then the Lord illustrated it with a second, and he talked about a certain king going to battle against a foe with 10,000 men, a foe that has 20,000. He says, first off, consider the cost of it. Consider the possible victory of it. Otherwise, in the midst of battle, he'll send for an ambassador of peace. And, of course, he'll be mocked later on. He began a fight or a battle that he could not finish. Our Lord then concludes it by saying to them, consider this way that I'm asking you to follow. Consider the real cost that's involved in this matter. Wouldn't it be good for us to teach our lives and teach our children after us to first count the cost of what you're fixing to do? You're fixing to make a decision to go to a school, take a certain set of courses in life, to improve things, take into consideration the cost that's involved. Take into consideration the possibilities that will come as outgrowth to those courses taken. Take into consideration the possibilities that will come as outgrowth to those courses taken. We have found in our day and time that there are a lot of courses that would be nice and nice studies that are done, but they go absolutely nowhere to a person having a job. Not always do our guidance counselors help us out and show us. We need to be wise. We need to share that information with others. And wouldn't it be wonderful in life and in family directions to share that information that will help them toward a job, making some money, paying the rent, buying the groceries, paying the bills, the utility bills, living. Wouldn't it be wonderful for them to be able to do that? That's their plan. They want to do that. Count the cost ahead. Look ahead. You know, if some of our folks in Washington these days that deal with the economy would count the ahead and make sure of those who check those who have the monies, we might not have had the debacles that we've had the last several years. Some 5 or 6 years ago, I was reading with interest last week, and I underlined some things, had Miss Jane to read them as well, about the annuities monies and the retirement monies of the work that she's doing. And the fact that she has a very small salary there in her secretarial work, but the hope was that in retirement she would have some things that have been invested well. And the information was that it was encouraging information, if you can believe that. It was encouraging information because at earlier times they were saying frankly that there had been a lot of money that had been lost and a lot of money that wasn't there. They have recouped and they have made up and everything was in better order now. I say if you can believe that. I don't know if we can or cannot. I don't know if it's true or not, but we'll see as time goes along, of course. The idea of what could you do then? Sometimes, you know, something true is something kind, is something useful. And you might, when you get down to it, it's true and it's kind, but it's not useful for us. You just don't know. It's kind of like the two elderly ladies that were at the Sunday picnic for the church. They went out there to the tables, and the days in which they put the food on the tables outside, covered them over with linen cloth. No critters got to them, but they went outdoors in the shade. And it was a hot day, but it was shady, and it was cool in the shade. And they both were side by side as they were loading up their plates with various things, a fried chicken, one thing and then another. And they came up to a bowl of boiled eggs. And one said to the other, boy, I enjoy a peel boiled egg as much as I enjoy anything. A little salt, a little pepper, it's just an absolutely wonderful thing. And the other one said, I know what you mean. I enjoy the same thing. But she said, you know, the sermon was a little bit longer today with homecoming like it was. And it get a little bit warmer all the morning as we came out here. I'm sure glad we stand in the shade right now. And she said, my mother had a test. You drop that egg into a glass of water. And one way, if it's good, it floats. And if it's not good, it sinks. I've forgotten which one it is, though. And the other lady said, a lot of good your information does us. Well, a lot of information, but how beneficial is it? How helpful is it? Which one floats and which one drops to the bottom? The one gives you ptomaine poisoning or the sun? Which one does that? Look ahead. Count the cost is what Jesus said to do. And count the cost in regard to that matter of an egg at a homecoming dinner. The idea of the Lord is to save us in life. A lot of consequences, a lot of troubles. If we will do that, if we'll be people who find ourselves looking at the cost of what we're really doing.